everyone, and welcome to the Screen Strong Families podcast, bringing you the best solutions for parents who are serious about eliminating screen problems in their home. This is Melanie Hempe, and I am so glad you're joining us today. If you are one of our regular listeners, welcome back. And if you are a new friend, we are so glad you found us. You are no longer alone on this journey of navigating screens in your home. You have found your people. And today we are so happy to have Dr. Stacy joining us to help us start off fresh for the new year. Dr. Stacy, welcome.
Hey, Melanie. Thanks for having me. We're a little bit late on our fresh new start for the new year, but I don't know about you guys, but I feel like most of the country has been snowed in the last few weeks. Yeah. So. with this Arctic blast. So here we are. We're going to start off fresh for the new year now that January's almost over. But
that's right. So it's like, you know, now is better than never, right? So
that's right. That's right.
So let's talk about your snow just for a minute. You've been snowed in a bit in the last few weeks. So I want you to talk. I'm going to put you on the spot. And I just want you to talk a minute about what it was like to be snowed in. Literally, and not be able to go out and get in your car and go anywhere.
Literally, with four children yeah. and a husband, and five. Oh dogs, my goodness! By the way, we also have five dogs.
Five dogs.
We do. We have five dogs, and of varying types and sizes. But so we were barely back to school after the holidays before we had a snow day, and then ice days, and then more snow. So I think our kids were out 5 or 6 days over the last 2 weeks, sort of snowed in. And it was the kind of snow where you couldn't go play outside because it was too cold. You know, it was like 0 degrees and, you know, wind chills below zero. And this kind of snow, that powdery snow that doesn't stick together.
You just can't make a snowman.
So it's not like you could send them all out in their snow gear to play for very long because it really was, you know, borderline dangerous. So we're very stuck in our home.
So I am, if everybody could see me right now, I'm like on the edge of my seat. Like I scooted, I'm just on the edge of my seat. I am like dying to know, what did you do for those many hours?
Right. And so you get to like, video what games? Am I going to do with these kids? Well, I will tell you that three of my kids are teenagers and then my youngest is 10. And so what, one thing I did was encourage catching up on sleep. I'll be really honest, because teenagers these days don't sleep enough.
They don't sleep enough.
And so I said, you know, we're going to sleep in, we're going to, you know, go to bed early. And so that kind of helps, you know, encouraging healthy habits. We cooked a lot.
Good.
We made family dinners together. I have one of my kids is real into baking. So we ate a lot of chocolate chips and various recipes. So that was helpful. We completed two puzzles, 2,000 piece puzzles, which my youngest is, he has a little bit of a fine motor delay, and so he doesn't love to do puzzles and Legos because it's hard for him. Mm-hmm. So we really were trying to encourage him to get better at puzzles. We played a lot of games. So we played catchphrase, and we played one of our new favorite games, Worst Case Scenario, which is a really fun game. So our listeners will have to look that one up.
Oh, good.
Ticket to Ride, we played the 5-hour Monopoly. There's a new Barbie Monopoly, Barbieopoly, that's out. fun for the whole family. And so we did that. I'm trying to think what all we did. I mean, we just played a lot of games. But this is what I'll tell you, Melanie, that it required a lot of my husband and I of really having to shift our focus into family time. Like we're snowed in, we're all here together. We're going to have to let some of our things go that can go until the kids are back in school and shift our focus to using this time as family togetherness instead of being like you want to be. You know, your knee jerk reaction is annoyed. I'm going to get behind at work. I need my quiet time. I need to be able to have my phone calls and conferences and all of those things. And you have to let that go for a minute.
Yeah.
And it does, you know, my husband and I are both self-employed. And so it does hurt us when we can't be at work, right? Because we can't be providing the services that we provide. But at the end of the day, you can't change it. I mean, I couldn't go out there with a hairdryer and melt all the snow. And so you sort of have to come to the realization that this is the situation we're in.
Yeah.
We have to do the best we can with what we have.
Well, I'm so proud of you. You made it out alive, because I'm talking to you right now. And
I know,
that means
I did make
you
it
made
out.
It.
I did. And it's 50 degrees today. So.
Oh, it's so wonderful now. But listen, everybody out there listening, we know how hard it is, but it is not impossible, right? And I've been right where you are. We don't get quite snowed in the way you do, but we have had long days of, you know, kids being home for different reasons. And it is, you do have to, I love it that you said shift your focus. You have to just get off your own phone and get off your own computer and just really focus on spending time with your kids. And, you know, I say all the time to parents that I talk to that that's the one thing that is like the biggest healer of emotions for kids is for parents to give kids their undivided time and attention. You don't have to do it all the time, but on these snow days, for sure, you're kind of forced to do it. But this is the kind of thing that you shouldn't be doing, of course, for 5 days every week, but you can certainly do for a few hours every weekend or half a weekend or a whole day of the weekend to do the same thing. And it's very healing and it really helps. And your kids want to spend time with you more than they want to be on their screens, believe it or not. That is really a true statement. They want to be with human beings and they're trying so hard to fill all these needs. And if they feel like you want to spend time with them and, you know, you're picking them, then they will put their screens down. I remember when we started playing board games, when my oldest was in his video game addiction days, that was one thing that would get him off his game. And I don't know why I didn't put it together back in those days, but that was one thing. And I realize now it's because he wanted to be around people. He wanted to be around us, but it's, you gotta really focus on, you know, making time to do that. So today we're going to cover some tips for the new year. But right before we get started, we have to answer one question that has come up a lot, Dr. Stacy, during the holidays, and it surfaces a good bit on our forums. And so I want you to answer the question about how to manage other kids, you know, your kids' friends, other children, people that you did not birth, bringing their screens to your house when you have gatherings at your house for your kids. How do you tell another child no? Explain to us how you do that in your home.
Right. So my philosophy on this is similar to anything that you would do or not do in your home. So the first thing that you have to remember, and I said this to you earlier, was parents need to stop being afraid of 10-year-olds. And I'm not trying to be flippant or, you know, judge people. I'm just saying in general, as parents, our generation is just a little bit more walking on eggshells around our kids and their friends. And I think mm-hmm. we need to take a step back from that sort of mentality mm-hmm. and just remember that we have years and years and years of experience on these kids, and we need to stick to what we believe is the best for them. And I would not say this if I didn't do this in my own home. Mm-hmm. I set expectations for any kind of interaction that happens in my home, and the kids know that we don't allow smartphones in our home for people under 16. And so the parents know that. I communicate that to the parents ahead of time. If kids are coming over to my house, like say, for example, we've had like a classroom party at our house or a group of kids or a birthday party or something, and I almost always will send a group text or text the parents individually or talk to them in person ahead of time. Say, hey, we'd love to have your kids over to our house on Friday night. We're going to do this, this, and this. But just to remind you, we don't allow phones in our house. Smartphone mm-hmm. is under 16.
Yeah.
And so if they're going to come over, can you just keep their phone? And you have my number so you can call me. You know, don't even have them bring them. We don't do at our house the thing where we take them up. I don't take other kids' phones. I am talking to the parents ahead of time. And I say, mm-hmm. we just don't, you know, just don't bring them. And I will say that in the years of doing this, my oldest is almost 18. So not a large amount of time I've been doing it, but enough years to have some experience.
Yeah.
I have had one kid that decided not to come to her birthday party because we wouldn't let her bring a phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was an interesting conversation with our kid because that was her friend choosing that over coming to her party.
Wow.
And so there, you know, and that was just a good conversation to have.
Well, that is so sad.
It is sad. And they've maintained their friendship and, you know, things have been good, but that said a lot about where that particular child was at that time in her life. And that was when she was in the seventh grade. But I will say that over time, there probably have been kids that have snuck in a device.
Right.
I'm not the airport TSA. Like, right. I'm not going through their backpack when they come yeah. in, you know, for a sleepover or to hang out or whatever. But
yeah.
our kids know the rules, and there's not any phone time.
Yeah.
So when they're over here, they're playing games or they're doing something outside or they're building something or they're mm-hmm. sitting around, you know, laughing, telling Joe. I mean, you know, whatever, cooking, sure. whatever it is, activity is. And the other piece of advice that I give my families I work with and I talk to my friends about and I remind myself is that if you are going to have kids over to your house, just the way kids' minds think now, you need to have a plan.
Yeah.
So you need to have, so you don't need to just have, let's have a bunch of your friends over and don't have a plan with your kid, because then a lot of kids, believe it or not, especially if they've had a smartphone for a long time, they don't know how to fill empty time.
That's right.
Their brain doesn't have those executive functioning skills of what to do with downtime.
Yep.
So then your kid is saying, hey, what do you want to do? And that kid doesn't have an answer because they're used to just getting on their device.
Yep.
And so you have to have a plan with your kid. Like, okay, are you going to do a puzzle? Are you going to play a game? Are you going to play kickball? Are you going to?
Yep.
I mean, whatever it is. And
yeah,
then,
and they can deviate from the plan, but you have to have a plan to start. 100%. I agree 100%.
Well, I mean, also, like, just have a list in mind so that when yeah. downtime does come, the kid can yeah. come to you and be like, Mom, do you have any suggestions? Be like, oh, let's do this. And you've already got some ideas for things.
And I used to go over that with my boys early on. And then you get to the point where you don't have to do that anymore because they're trained. You're training them how to be a host. And they really need training. They don't know how to do that. And that's really mm-hmm. scary in the beginning when you're, Mom, I got all these people. I don't know what to do, right? You yeah. have to train them. And this is a life skill that they will completely miss if they have screens, because what they're going to do instead is everybody's going to be sitting down in the basement on the couch and they're all going to be on their screens because nobody knows what to do. And that's all they know how to do. So that would happen to my daughter all the time because she didn't have a smartphone and her friends would come over and she'd come upstairs and she'd say, Mom, everybody's just down there on their phone. They're not even talking to me.
Right.
It was so sad.
Right. And that happens. I mean, my kids will go to other people's homes and they'll come home later after the whatever they were doing and say, yeah, yeah. they just had it on their phone. So I just went and talked to the parents or, you know, I just read a book or something. And that's sad. But like, this goes back to making decisions with a purpose behind what you're doing. And so that you don't have all that emotion where you feel sad or feel sorry for them or feel, you know, because you're yeah. continually reinforcing to your kids why you're making the decisions, what your family culture is, why you're doing what you're doing. And nobody said it was easy. Nobody ever said parenting was easy. It's the hardest thing right. you'll ever do.
Right.
And there's a reason for that, because the things that produce the best products are the things that are the hardest to do. And so your job as a parent is to make a good adult. I mean, that's really our job, is yeah. to form these kids to be productive, amazing adults when they're grown. And so that's what we're trying to do with these rules that we're making. You know, and Melanie, I hear a lot of parents say, well, I would never send my kid to another family's house without their phone because they need to be able to contact me immediately. What if they need something? Or what if the parents are fighting? Or what if, you know, they start their period and they need something? Or, right. you know... But see, right. this is my whole point and why I love Screen Strong so much, is that we are trying to teach our children how to solve these problems.
Right.
And immediately turning towards a phone at 11 years old to text your parent is not the number one way that we want kids to solve their problems.
Right.
Also, if you feel nervous about sending your kid to another person's home, you should lean into that gut feeling. So if you're worried about sending your child to someone's home that the parents might be fighting or there's something dangerous, you need to kind of look into that a little bit and why you feel that way. And maybe yeah. you should invite those kids to your house instead of sending your child over to their house.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. Because if you feel confident, then there's no reason why for 3 or 4 hours that they need their phone. They,
right.
you know, and then see, we're creating a whole generation of addicts because we're training them that they can't go anywhere without, you know, texting me every 5 minutes. So
right.
that's a really bad idea. Like you said, our job is to teach our kids how to problem solve. And you kind of really want your kid to have a problem when they're at somebody's house so they can actually learn how to solve the problem. And that's kind of a good thing when something happens, you
yeah.
know, like that. That is, what a great answer. I'm just, so excited that you're verbalizing all the things that, of course, we have figured out through me, at least the School of Hard Knocks. Through you, you haven't had to have as many disasters as I've had, but the resolve, you know, to actually know your purpose, because once you know why you're not allowing this stuff, it is so easy. And that's what we just want to share with everybody listening today. This is so easy when you figure it out, but you have to kind of figure it out. You have to understand your why. And Dr. Stacy and I and a number of other physicians from our advisory board have been working just, you know, candle burning here at both ends on getting this workbook ready. We have our digital course, as some of y'all have already gotten, but we have the workbook, the print workbook, almost ready. So you're going to have the perfect tool to sit down with your kid and explain the why in such good format. And Dr. Stacy, we're not going to talk a whole lot about that right now. I want to move on, but I just want to say that we've got so many materials on our website. You go figure out your why. That will give you the confidence that you need to tell the mom, hey, we don't have phones at our house. So, you know, for this party or this whatever, she doesn't need to bring her phone. He doesn't need to bring her phone. And you're going to have to troubleshoot a little bit yourself with parents. I would give you the advice to not make it a debate and not make it an argument, but bring some humor into it and just say, hey, you know, I know that, you know, Lily's fine with her phone, but you know what? My kids aren't. So thank you so much for not bringing your phone.
Oh, absolutely. You can put it back on your own kids so that those don't feel judgment from you and just say, I'm sure you guys have it all under wraps there. You're on top of it. And I appreciate that. We are not. Our kids can't handle it. And so I really appreciate that you understand that at our house, we just can't. We just can't.
Yeah. And I did that and it really seemed to work. And so thank you so much for sharing that and just giving us that extra boost that we need here at the beginning of the year to get our head kind of screwed on straight when it comes to this. You wouldn't allow somebody to bring some alcohol in your house. You wouldn't allow them to bring drugs or pornography in your house. So therefore, we don't allow them to bring their phone. And if you're new listening to us, don't stop listening. It's going to get better. You're going to figure out, oh yeah. Okay. All the reasons. It's going to make so much sense. So let's continue with some tips that we have, for everyone here. You know, the beginning of the new year, we're going to still say we're in the beginning stages of the new year anyway. We've got on our website so much information. And one of the things we have on our website is kind of the Screen Strong values. And so there's just five things. We're just going to remind you of some things to do. And we're going to use these five things that are the values that we have. And we're going to give you some tips. Dr. Stacy, I'm so excited to do this because every time I do this, I think of new things. But the first thing we're going to start with is just the idea that we have to have healthy families. And how are we this year, how are we going to increase the family connection in our family and just the general camaraderie amongst ourselves and our families. And so one of the things that I did, and y'all have heard me say this so many times, but if you're new, you might need to hear it. And I know this sounds crazy, but we spent, I don't know, $50 on a fire pit years ago for our backyard. Yeah. A little fire pit that we got at the home big box store. And that was the best thing we ever did. We start fires and our kids will go outside and we talk. It's amazing.
You know, there's something about fire. There's some interesting kind of things that have looked at how people will gather around.
Yes. Yeah. And they just love to poke at it and talk and build it and all the things. So I'm like, just going to say, if y'all have a fire pit out there in your yard, in fact, you can go to the store and just get the big bricks and make your own fire pit. It doesn't even matter, but that's just a thing to do. And I would encourage you to look into a family hobby, like get everybody bikes to ride, or maybe you're going to start camping, or maybe you get a ping pong table and you're going to start your own little ping pong team. I know pickleball is huge,
yeah,
right?
Pickleball is a huge one and people of all ages can play pickleball. So yeah, I mean, that's a good one.
But that's a new thing that you might want to do this year. And I'm just going to throw out there, watching a sports team together, you know, Screen Strong is not a screen-free organization. We believe absolutely that there are wonderful ways to use screens together with your family. It's always better when you're co-viewing. And this is a perfect example. Have a Super Bowl party, watch a Super Bowl, or get a list of documentaries. We have tons of documentaries that we love, and just get a list for the year. What do we want to learn about this year? Let's make a list. And Friday nights can be your documentary night or your movie night or whatever it is. And then also I thought of just thinking about vacations ahead of time. You got to plan now, right? For the summer.
Absolutely. You know what we did is we have a big chalkboard in our house. And so when it started the new year, we just wrote on the top family goals for 2024. And we just let each, you know, as you walk by and think of something, put something up there.
Yeah.
And so great. That helps you kind of see where everyone is, like what they're wanting to do in this new year. And so, you know, one of ours was play more tennis. And so we love tennis as a family, and our youngest is finally old enough to actually serve the ball and return it and all of that. And so that was a big one for us, was to do that. Also, you know, our oldest is going to be going off to college. And so we're excited to sort of adopt a new sports team.
Yeah.
So we have, you know, I went to Alabama. So we have our Alabama Crimson Tide, and my husband went to Arkansas. So he's got his Razorbacks. And now we're excited to add like a third sports team in there. And so have somebody to follow like baseball and basketball and football. You know, we're a big sports family, so that helps us. But if you're not, you could pick like a band that you like, or.
Yeah. But even if you're not a sports family, let me just tell you, even if you're not, you need to find one team. Okay. And it might be a baseball team or whatever. Trust me, you can do it. It's fun. It's fun for your kids to gather around and watch a team and root for them.
And if you don't know sports, that's even more fun because you get to know a new sport.
That's
right. Like if you love math and sort of logic, baseball is for you. If you love things that are fast-paced and energetic, basketball is for you. You know, if you like things that are more kind of down and dirty, football. Yeah, I mean, there's some in hockey is super interesting.
Something for everybody.
And so I think that's the thing about sports. There's a sport for everybody.
Yeah. And then, like I said, try to think about some vacation plans now so you can make reservations, because I always forget to do that and then we kind of get messed up. So the second thing is to remove toxic screens. So this is a very big value over at It's Screen Strong. We believe that this is a great time of year to just step back and think, okay, we got to get rid of the video games, the social media for our kids, and the pornography in our house. And some tips around that is honestly just to remove the video games. And I'm going to talk about that again in a minute, so we don't have to spend a lot of time right now, but you got to just take a break from those games because they're causing a lot of problems for your kids. More than likely, they're not doing these other hobbies and other things they should be doing because they're getting caught up in the persuasive design of their game. Of course, for the phone people out there, we got to get a flip phone. It is okay, Dr. Stacey, to take back that phone you got at Christmas.
All the time. You're the parent. You can change your mind.
Yeah.
And you need to, or you should explain to your kids why you're changing your mind, just to sort of kind of help that relationship along. But you can change your mind anytime you want. You're the parent. You're the coach. You're in charge. And so if you felt pressured or did something and now you're looking back and thinking, yeah, now I get it, or I really don't like, this is not sitting well with me or whatever, you can change your mind and you talk to your kids about it. And you, if they do have a smartphone, you are going to have to replace it with something. And we love Gab. I mean, I think Gab is doing a great job. The Wise phone as well. So, I mean, there are others out there that are, you
know, even Verizon just has a basic flip phone now that doesn't have any, doesn't have any internet. So and with Gab and Canopy alike, I would also say here at the beginning of the year to think about putting a filter on your devices. And I'm not going to go into details on all the different crazy parental controls. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about one simple filter, Canopy. It is fabulous. Canopy.co, I think, is the site. And if you use Strong on either Gab or Canopy, you get a great discount with Canopy. It's an ongoing discount, so it's great. And what that does is it blocks all the unwanted content. Porn basically gets blocked before it ever even gets to your device. So it's fabulous. We love it. We have it on all the devices in our house, all the laptops, the phones, everybody's stuff. So that's just something to refresh and think a little bit about. So the third thing is life skills and hobbies. So Dr. Stacey, talk about this for a minute. What are some things that families can do right now to kind of beef up this area?
So this is one, and I just had this conversation recently with my 13-year-old because he was saying when he's really into basketball, but when he's not doing that, he feels like he doesn't have any hobbies. And so we were kind of talking about different things that he could do that would be things he could do forever, right? Because you can play basketball until you're older, but it gets a little harder when you're my age. But and so we kind of researched lists of things that he could get into. And I think that's a really great conversation to have with all of your kids. Like, let's look at what are the things that are sort of personality congruent with you. Like, what are things that you like to do? You like to sit and write? Or are you more of someone who likes to be out using your hands? Do you want to start a garden? You know, so recently what we did is I found this company that sells plants that you only have to water once a month. And so they have like a water reservoir in the bottom and you fill that up and then you only have to check it like every couple of weeks or whatever. And so I got each one of my kids a plant to put in their room. And so they have sort of this plant to take care of. And I thought this would be a good start to gardening's a great hobby. And so learning about plants and sort of it's the kind of in between taking care of yourself and taking care of a dog, right? So plant is a little bit easier and taking care of an animal. And so that was something that we kind of came up with as a family. That's a great kind of hobby and life skill and learning about plants, but also getting your kids to really buy into the idea of doing chores. Sort of, why do we do that? Like, why do we make our bed every day? And I saw a really cute sort of short little essay recently that was talking about a parent was explaining to her child that the reason she liked to make her bed every day is because then at the end of the day, when she came home, her bed looked like a gift that was ready to be unwrapped. And it made her feel like then she felt so thankful that she had a warm, soft bed to come home to at the end of the day. And I, in all my years, had never sort of heard that analogy. And I thought, you know, I just make my bed because I like how it looks. And my parents taught me to do that every day. But that's, I thought, a good sort of visual image of, and then you come in and your bed is made, and that's a great skill to have.
Oh, it always makes you feel better.
And then cooking is a great one. So all of our kids know how to cook. Our youngest can make pasta at 10 years old. He can make his own grilled cheese, scrambled eggs, fried eggs, all of that. And so teaching your kids, you know, how to cook from a young age, I think is really important. Of course, if there's open flames and fire and stuff,
you gotta be careful.
You know, you have to watch them, but that's a great skill to have. So then they're not a teenager and just ordering DoorDash for every meal or whatever the delivery services that they choose. They're learning how to cook on their own. Taking your kids to the grocery store with you, helping them learn how to find things in the grocery store, learn how to comparison shop.
I think fixing things around the house is good.
Yeah, I think this year,
y'all, everybody listen. Okay, just listen up here a minute. we all need to get better at letting our kids do things that we know how to do, but we just keep doing them because we know how to do them. And if their arms are working and their hands are working, they should be doing it. And it will take longer, but we, you know, if there's something broken or light bulbs that need to be changed or oh my gosh, there's so many things when you own a house, right? There's so many little things that can happen that can go wrong or that just needs maintenance, right? The oil in the car. Your kids can learn how to change oil in the car. They can learn how to do their laundry. They can learn how to do so much. You should not be taking the garbage out. Your kids should be taking the garbage out. There should be a lot of those mundane chores, you know, the ones that we all hate, but guess what? That's what we have to do the rest of our life.
Just a little reminder to parents that are like me. Your kids are not going to do it how you want it done.
Right.
And to learn to be okay with that. That's been the hardest thing for my husband and I, because we want the dishwasher loaded a certain way. You know, and we want the floor swept a certain way. And they're not from day one going to know how to do that. So we have to kind of do a little bit of therapy on ourselves to remind ourselves that we are teaching them how to do it the way we think it should be done. And they're not going to do it, you know.
And when you have the empty nest, Dr. Stacey, you can start sweeping the floors the way you want to do it. Okay.
That's right.
And they're all gone.
That's right. I'll miss them then, because then I won't have them to do the dishes. Right. Although, will I even have any dishes? We'll probably use the same cup for a week.
That's right. But I'm talking about like clogged drains and stuff.
Yeah.
Don't jump and fix it. Get your kids to come in there and say, okay, what do you think is happening? What needs to happen next? Here, let me tell you how to do it. And then they learn that skill and they feel so good when they can fix something.
Yeah. That sense of accomplishment, I think, is lacking because we hire things out or we do it ourselves and we don't, you know, let our kids in on all of that. And I will say this, that I don't like YouTube. I think YouTube is super dangerous for kids, but there are certain videos, like fix it videos, that you can search as a parent, and you can fix things in your home amazingly with instructional videos. We actually had a broken clothes washer, and found a video on how to change the part that was broken, and like saved ourselves who knows how many hundreds of dollars. And like took that washing machine apart and fixed it ourselves. Yep.
We've done the same thing with our washer and our dryer.
I've never been so excited in my life as when I turned that thing on and it started working. We were high-fiving. I mean, it was hilarious. You would have thought we won the lottery.
But, well, you did. You won the life skills lottery.
Yeah. But I think we just forget like how kids get this amazing sense of accomplishment from doing something like that. And also from learning a new hobby. I mean, learning new things is so great for kids.
And this is where, when you've got screen distractions going on, I'm telling you, this is the stuff that doesn't happen. I promise you, when your kid is on his video game, he is not going to want to go fix the washing machine. And he's not going to have a attention span for it. He's going to get frustrated. It's just such a different life, right?
When
their brains are not all jumbled up with their screen dependencies. So the fourth thing is prioritize authentic relationships. And this one is so important. Again, it's sort of like teaching your kids how to be the host in their own house, but it's traditions that you can bring into your family to have more people over to your house this year. Even when your house is dirty, even when it's not perfect, even if all you do is make pancakes for dinner, it doesn't matter what, but to extend invitations and have a warm, relationship with the people in your life, and your kids have to see you doing this. And we love, years ago, the potluck dinner idea. We've even had teachers over to our house for dinner. You've got to show your kids how to connect these important relationships to their life, because they think they're doing it on social media and they are not. Social media is just a very, very weak excuse for building relationships. It's not all bad. There's certain things certainly about it that can be helpful, making things very convenient. However, building that tribe and that village, how are your kids going to know who to model their life after? I mean, they're going to model after you most, but they need to know who your friends are. They need to know who loves them. They need to know who their tribe is. And you do that by starting these traditions of having people over. And, if you really don't want anybody in your house ever, then you meet people at a park, or you meet them out somewhere, meet them out for dinner at a restaurant. Do something to start putting relationships in priority this year, even if it's just one little thing. Just think of one little thing, because we tend, Dr. Stacy, to get very intro, focused on ourselves, with all of our own family connection. But we can't forget that we have to let our neighbors know we care. We got to let our friends know we care. And we got to show our kids how to do that. And this has just been one of the richest things that we have done. And our kids are now getting, as they grow into more of a, after teenage sort of phase, they're actually calling friends and our friends and their violin teacher and their piano teacher. They're actually continuing these relationships on their own. And that is what is so wonderful, because that is a gift because relationships in life are the only thing that matter. So when you give them the gift of knowing how to put these pieces together, it will just be the gift that follows them the rest of their life. It will help them more in every area of their life than anything else that you can do. It will help them with their marriage. It will help them with their future kids, your grandkids.
Absolutely.
It helps them with their people they work with. It helps them with their neighbors. This is where I think we miss, and we all get so isolated in our little screen worlds, and we just kind of get introspective and we have all this stuff happening, but we forget that we have to extend our arms to our own village. And I know a lot of people really want to put on this list to go help people that are in need. And I agree with that. And I think there is a part for that, but I would first challenge you to reach out to your own friends and meet those needs, because we all have needs to be social. So that's kind of my point on that. Do you have anything else to add on?
No, I love all of that. I think it's really important because I think in today, you know, especially coming out of the pandemic, we have forgotten how humans are social animals, right? Yes. And so we aren't meant to sort of sit on our own and stare at a screen or even just, I mean, there is a time for that, just being on your own. I mean, there is, and some people need more of that than others, but I think it is important to remember what an authentic relationship is and to show your kids, to model that to your kids.
Yeah.
And make sure you're doing those things where you're getting together in person and not just going to the movies. Going to the movies is great if you love doing that, but it's not face-to-face and you're not talking, you're just staring at a screen. So, I mean, I do love a good night at the movies. I'm not saying not to do that, but there are so many fun things. Like, we got a group of kids and parents together and went and played laser tag together.
Right. Yeah.
And we had the best time because they put you on random teams and you're like, you know, with people that aren't in your family and your family members on the other team. And you know, doing things like that, I think, is really important. And I love the idea of hospitality and how many lessons you learn from hosting people. I think you mentioned that earlier in this podcast about teaching your kids what it means to be a host.
Yeah.
And I think that we have kind of stopped doing that because it was so like a no-no during COVID to have people.
I know. So there's a whole generation that's kind of grown up not knowing how to do that. And we got to be careful that we reinstill that. And along with this, even like that fire pit I talked about earlier, you know what? If you don't want to make dinner for everybody, just have them bring some marshmallows. We had more fun when our kids were in baseball, having those parents, just a handful at a time, you know, come over and sit around the fire pit and talk and do marshmallows and roast s'mores. It was just, you don't have to make it about the meal. And so, you know, gosh, the other thing I just remembered, Dr. Stacey, is the escape room thing. I don't know if y'all have ever done that before.
Oh, but we have done escape rooms. And I will say that some people in our family are good at that.
Yeah.
Some people in our family are not good at that.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting, interaction in our family in particular. But yeah.
So you can do things like that that require a little more planning, or you can just say, hey, come over for dessert tonight. Like, it doesn't even have to be dinner, but having a potluck dinner or having, you know, families over for dinner, you know, if you have a goal to not every month even, but maybe every few months, once a quarter, make it a goal once a quarter. I think that's a good idea. And the final thing is dare to be different. And I think you have some things to say about that.
So here's the thing is that you have to make the decision as a parent that you're going to have a purpose behind what you do. And even if that's different from other people, and some of us are, our personalities are more wanting to be part of the crowd. And then others like me are a little bit more likely to want to do something different. You know, like when everyone wants to live in this neighborhood, I want to live in a different neighborhood. But for those of us that want to live in that neighborhood, it's a little bit harder, but you have to continually to remind yourself that daring to be different is amazing because it teaches you and your kids how to be uniquely who you are and not who somebody else thinks you should be or wants you to be.
What are some other ways that you were different in our lives in general?
Right. Well, what I was going to say about this particular thing is that there are a lot of things that are not well accepted, like in society, that we all buy into collectively, right? That, you know, the vast majority of people don't let their kids stay up all night long on a school night. They don't let their kids wear sandals in the snow. They don't, they make sure that, like I was telling you one time, my 10-year-old, if he could, would eat Airheads for every meal, which to me is so gross, but that's his preference. And I don't allow that, of course.
Right.
Goodness gracious, that would be a nightmare.
But why not? If I made a 10-point presentation about why I should eat Airheads for dinner, would you let me?
No, I wouldn't, because Melanie, I know my purpose for not doing that, which is that you need calcium for your teeth and you need vitamins for your skin and your bones. And
but they taste so good. And all my friends eat Airheads, Mom.
Right. And that's funny that you say that, because kids will do that. They will make a PowerPoint Google Slides presentation about why they need to have a phone and all these things. And you need to dare to be different. And you need to tell your kids, thank you for that presentation. And I appreciate the work you put into that. But here's the reasons we're still not going to do this, right?
Yeah.
And we have to reframe everything into, this is not a decision that's made any differently than all of the other parenting decisions that you make.
That's
every
right.
parenting decision you make, you're going to make with the best interests of your kid's health and maturity in mind. And this isn't any different. Just because everybody else has given in and they believe the tech companies or whoever that these phones are harmless and all this, you have to be very solid in your foundation, which is why, you know, years ago I got connected with you with Screen Strong, is because that's what Screen Strong is about.
Yeah.
We're going to give you all of that information and understanding so that when you're daring to be different, you're not looking like a fool, because you're right. the one that has the knowledge and you're able to, you know, really explain that to your kids and other parents as well.
And when you learn, you know, like through our website, we have the education, we have the community, we have all the things that you need. When you learn that there are certain things that are negotiable and certain things that aren't, Airheads for dinner really probably isn't negotiable, right?
Right.
And, you know, staying up till 2, that's probably not negotiable, but there are things that are negotiable. You can negotiate all kinds of things with your kids, but you don't negotiate everything. And screen time is one of the things that goes in that category that doesn't get negotiated. And once you figure that out, it's so easy. It's like, let's look and see what category. Oh, it's in this one here, honey. See, we're not negotiating. And then you take all the emotion out. And that's what I love so much about learning so much of the science and all the medical reasons why. It just takes all the emotion out, and you don't have to
right.
be the bad guy. You know, we're not the bad guy anymore. We just are doing the best thing, because this is not emotional. We're not making an emotional decision. So love that.
I agree with that. It's like you have to take emotion out of it, and you have to just sort of make decisions based on knowledge, not emotion.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, is that it's not easy. And I had a situation recently with one of my kids where he got kind of made fun of or bullied. I don't know if bully's the right word. More probably just made fun of.
Embarrassed, yeah.
In a group of boys for not having a phone, because they wanted to all do something that required a phone. And he was real upset about it, and he was, you know, mad. And that does make me sad for him that situation happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have those situations the rest of your life. I mean, adults do that to other adults, you know. And so learning how to handle that is important.
Yeah.
And what I said to him was, in that situation, you should have stood up for yourself. And you should have said to those kids, like, why don't we do something else? Or, you know, come up with some other problem solving strategy other than just getting upset about it. And so that's the things we're trying to teach our kids now while they're, you know, living with us and have us, you know, readily available to them, is how to solve those kinds of problems. And just because he's going to handle or encounter difficult situations like that doesn't mean I'm going to give in and give him a smartphone. Now, I am sad that that happens, but things like that happen across all avenues all the time. And we have to teach our kids how to handle that and stand up for themselves.
And I will add that the first time it happens is the worst. All right. So the first time is always going to be the worst. And then the next time it happens, it's not going to sting quite as bad. And then after the third or fourth time, it's going to be like, whatever. So you can't parent around the first time that it happens. You cannot do that. You can't change all your rules just because somebody got their feelings hurt, being made fun of because they didn't have a phone.
Right.
So that's the other thing. Don't react, you know, don't react like a teenager, I always say. I mean, no offense to the teenagers, but, you know, sometimes we kind of regress and we turn into teenagers. We're like, oh no, my kid, whatever, somebody made fun of him. That's okay. His head didn't explode off and he's fine. And the next time it happens, he's going to have a better answer. And the next time it's going to be better and better and better. That's how you teach anybody. They don't know how to answer that in the beginning. And, you know, for you, it probably hurt your feelings too, a little bit. You know, we get our feelings hurt when our kids get hurt. You know, we don't want them to get hurt and all that, but you have to just hold your guns a little bit and just, you know, not cave in. Because it will get easier. And then before you know it, they won't even care anymore, because they've grown confident that they are independent, you know, people without their phone. So
Exactly. And, you know, and it was interesting. We were having that conversation because my 17-year-old, almost 18-year-old, was in on it too. And she was trying to encourage him. Like, this is really hard now, but I guarantee you, when you get to my age, you're going to be so thankful that you've had this time to sort of learn how to interact. And
he that was is like, so whatever, sweet.
You know, and she was like, no, really, like you really will feel better about it.
I think that's so great that you brought that up, because it really, I 100% agree with that. When my kids got just a tiny bit older, they got it. They do get it. And it comes so much faster than you think, but it does take a little time. And I love that she was able to tell her brother that. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an interesting conversation to see her 4 years on the other side of where he is and able to encourage him in that way.
That is so great. Well, we're going to wrap up today. So why don't you offer, and I will think of some encouragement too for our audience. They're starting off, maybe they're brand new, maybe they've been Screen Strong for a while, but they've kind of hit the wall a few times and kind of did a detox and then went back, you know, maybe whatever. We need some encouragement here at the end of this little show to just help people to not give up. So right. What is your encouragement here for the beginning of the year, even though we're kind of already out of January?
Well, I think that the most encouraging thing that we can tell ourselves is that if we are leaning into our purpose for doing what we think is right for our kids, that we're going to make the right decisions for that. And so I think that we need to do a little bit of examination of ourselves and our parenting strategies and what we want for our kids, and sort of recognize if there are some walls that are being built up. Like, I know a lot of parents worry about their kids being popular or their kids getting, you know, picked last for the sports team or those sorts of things, and sort of really reminding ourselves why we have the certain sort of ideas that we have. And if we're noticing that those are not based on what we want for our kids, but more what we want for ourselves, to sort of do a little bit of self-examination. The new year is always a good time for cleaning house, right? And so that's a time to sort of clean up some of those misdirected ideas that we have as parents as well. And I also want to, I continually encourage parents, like I said before, that you can change your mind. And so if you make a rule today and then tomorrow you find that that's not working for your family, you can change your mind. And so don't feel like any of these things that you do, that you can't take them back or that you can't fine tune or change what you're doing. And my third thing is to encourage parents that we all need to be lifelong learners. And so that includes learning about this new generation of technology, right? And learning about, and Screen Strong is a great place to do that, to go take the online course or read some of the articles that are linked there, or kind of learn about some ways to handle all of this that got thrown at us, what seems like overnight, especially if you've got a kid who's newly becoming a preteen or a teenager. It seems like you just woke up one day and your baby wasn't there anymore. And so you need some resources. And I just encourage everyone that's what we're here for. You know, that's what Screen Strong is here for. And it's not from judgment. We're not judging people. We're not here to tell you exactly what to do or how to do it. We just want to give you resources so that you can find your purpose and make your decisions based on that.
It's really good. Thank you. All three of those things were excellent. I can't really add anything to that other than I would encourage everyone to get into our Connect Plus group, where you can get a whole lot more resources in there, or just join the Connect forum where you can get in there and talk to parents, right? And Dr. Stacy's and I were both in there on and off. Mm-hmm. And I would also just say, go through our podcast, and we have so many good shows from the previous couple years. So if you're new, or even if you're not, go review some stuff from a few years ago. Look at the titles and the topics, because things that maybe didn't matter to you back then will start mattering now, because our kids are growing now. We have middle schoolers, or we have high school, you know, things change. So I love everything we talked about today, Dr. Stacy. Thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this has just been wonderful. And you always just bring, you know, you're able to articulate science behind all this stuff. And I don't know, I just feel like I get a little bit of therapy every time you come on. So thank you.
I'm glad I can help.
Oh, thank you. And thank everyone for listening today. We hope you have been encouraged and motivated, and not, like Dr. Stacy said, feel judged at all. We're trying to motivate you and help you not make all the mistakes that I made so many years ago, things that we have both figured out. So two things, education and community. Remember, we talked about that, and we have tons of education. We're getting more and more and more. This year is going to be a banner year for some wonderful educational tools that we have. Like I mentioned before, the workbook for your kids, and we have some other books coming out. And then the community, it's super important that you find just a few people. You don't need 100 people. You just need one or two friends to join with you, link arms, and start doing some Screen Strong stuff together and delay those screens, skip all the toxic screens that we tend to let in our lives, and just go for it this year. We promise that you will be so happy and you won't regret it. So you go over to screenstrong.org and you can go get all the information there. And if you would like to go a step further this year and become a Screen Strong ambassador, get our slide deck, go to your community and teach this material, that may be the very thing that you need to do this year. So, or even hosting a workshop in your area, contact us as well for that. Remember, we've got your back and we are here to help you remove all the screen conflicts from your home. So until next time, stand up for your kids, stand out from the crowd, and stay strong.